Hey Potties, welcome to Everything Under the Sun and How You Really Feel. Today we're going to be continuing our journey on the series Appearance of Paradise, episode 4, as soon as we come back. Stay with me. We talked the entire 3.5 hours home. By the time I arrived and parked in my driveway, I was feeling guilty. Even with my mind made up about divorcing my then husband, I still felt like I should have handled the situation differently. That was until I walked in my home. I walked through the door. My husband at the time had an attitude. Prior to me leaving, I asked him if he would like to go with me. He turned me down. It was my attempt at some type of civility between us. However, he chose not to accept the olive branch I was extending. So now we were in a place of no return. After spending time with True, feeling the love and affection from him, then coming home to a cold greeting from my husband, that was not the business. So I walked through the door, telling him that I was going back that next weekend. Not in 2 weeks, but the next weekend. And this time I did not give him the option of coming with me. It had begun. My plans to visit my hometown was taking shape. I usually didn't come home but once or twice a year, even with it being only a short ride away. But soon that would change. I reserved a hotel room and began to prepare. The week went by fast. It usually slows down when you are excited and eager to do something or be with someone. Not this time. The husband and I didn't have much to say to each other the next 5 days. We were still reeling from a drug incident that took place at our home 3 months prior to True coming home that my husband at the time was involved in. Let me tell you something. There is one thing that I make sure my men know about me. I do not and will not be around an alcoholic or a drug addict. I have been around angry drunks in and outside of my family. It's nothing nice. The same with any drug stronger than marijuana. The father of my children was an addict, and the struggle was real. If you are with me, know that both are deal breakers. So imagine my joy when True lied to me. I mean, looked me in my eyes and said, "I do not drink, nor do I smoke." But I'm jumping ahead. It was revealed, as was most of his lies and omissions, soon after our marriage, that he was not being honest with me. Go figure. Friday arrived, and I hopped my ass in the car ready to start my weekend, looking forward to the ride and getting to know True that came back home. Never once thought about what I was doing or the consequences that may have taken place because of my actions. Hell, in my mind, I was free. Husband didn't give a damn. I stopped giving a damn. We were where we were, and no amount of anything could repair what was broken. I was 41 years old, no kids at home, free from all the bullshit. I was a traveling woman on a mission that weekend, and no amount of anything was going to stop that either. True, in anticipation of my visit, kept in contact all week long. Baby, when I say that my phone stayed ringing, I am not kidding. This man was very attentive. And when you are getting outside of the home, what you are missing inside of the home, shit happens. I'm not proud of it. But shit happened. Don't get me wrong, I had not committed myself to True. I was having fun. Remember, he was supposed to be my cuddy buddy, because I still intended to keep my dinner date with Sean to catch up with him. I look back and think I did some reckless things that year, but I swear it felt good. I was a woman now and wanted very much to see what would happen between us as adults. Damn everything else. I was open, raw, and rebelling. The track I was on, no one could have knocked me off, and believe me, several tried. One really stood out, but I'll visit that later. I arrived and went straight to the hotel. I needed some me time before my weekend began. I called True, let him know I made it, that I would see him later. That time was spent reflecting on the home situation and the possibilities of the weekend. Time was ticking. Arriving at True's cousin's house made me realize I finally knew what I wanted out of this. A good time. Nothing more, nothing less. That was the thought then. I blew the horn. He came out. We started off riding around our old stomping grounds, old side of towns, you know, where he would sneak over to my house when my mom was at work. It was wonderful going down memory lane with a person that walked the same steps as I did. Or so I thought. I would later find out from him that he had a whole other life on the other side of town that included shit I was not into. I only knew my side of town True. I had never in my life felt like that girl. You know, that gullible chick, the one that doesn't look past your potential because you're potential. Towards the end of our relationship, I realized that I definitely was not that girl, because I looked past everything he said shortly after our marriage and always had to search for the truth. And sometimes it was never found. A good time was being had by us both. Memory lane was beautiful. I was enjoying our outing. It was still early. He made mention that he wanted me to meet his siblings. I was kind of leery because his cousin he was staying with had taken a picture of True sleeping without a shirt, unbeknownst to him, and placed it on her phone as a screensaver, and was goofy enough to show me like I would have celebrated that weird shit. No, I did not. I immediately informed True and told him he better sleep lightly. He seemed a little uncomfortable with the conversation, so I changed the subject and agreed to meet his sister. It was time to meet Tina, his sister. Now keep in mind that this is the only second time I've been around True since back in the day. This is my learning period, the first weekend of he and I spending time together. Time to sit back and do as I do. Be quiet, and gather information through him and the people he surrounds himself with. His sister Tina seemed nice, or friendly, whichever you prefer. She was also very talkative. When True left the room, she looked at me and began giving me warnings. She didn't hesitate, nor did she bite her tongue. She looked at me and said, "He'll leave you. If anything goes wrong, or he has to do more than think he's capable of doing, he'll leave you and he won't support you. He turned his back on our mom, didn't even take up for his own mother. What do you think he'll do to you? He doesn't help around the house. He's shady as shit." When I heard that, I was shocked. However, I put it in the stash where it belongs. not knowing then that it was not only informational, but predictive. Unfortunately for me, leaving Tina's left me pondering on some things, but not too heavily, because as I stated, I wasn't looking for anything serious at the moment, but I did feel like I was put on notice. If I had been thinking, I would have thought about the time there was a rumor amongst the crew that my stepfather had molested me. That was not true. However, True was made aware of the rumor, evidently believed it, but did not come to me about it, whether in support of me or even to question me and ask if I needed any help. Later on in our marriage, we talked about it, and I asked him why he didn't come to me. He told me it wasn't his business, so he walked away because we weren't together at the time. Red fucking flag number one. He took me to meet his mom also, who would later become Mama Lola to me, one of the most important people in my life. I loved that woman, and she loved me. She trusted me with her life, and I tried to never let her down. When we first met, she was not in the best place mentally. I would later understand some of the reasons why. After leaving Tina's, we continued back down memory lane. It led us directly to the person that reconnected us, Bishop, our brother from another mother. Bishop at the time was seeing the young lady that I later learned was his girlfriend. Pulling up to her home, walking in, seeing Bishop for the first time since our 20s was a joy. Good times were being had. Bishop suggested that we go out to a local club and hang out for a moment. It was agreed that everybody wanted to go. True and I stood up, and as he and I were walking past Bishop, True placed his hand in my back pocket. Bishop noticed, smiled, and said, "It's like that?" True was quickly staking claim, and at that time I didn't mind, but I also did notice that it was the first indication that he did not respect boundaries. He had a word he used frequently, lines, and he would often apply that to me. If he wanted something, boundaries did not matter, nor did the possible consequences that may take place for overstepping. But again, I allowed it. There will be no pity parties here. Let's get that clear. I am not a victim. I went into all of this with my eyes wide open. However, I will be that reference for anyone, male or female, that may fall in love with someone that was incarcerated for an extended period of time. Hell, anyone that was incarcerated for any length of time. This shit is not a rehearsal. Once we arrived at the club, I noticed that it was youngsters' night, which made True somewhat uncomfortable because he was 2 weeks out of prison and the young crowd can sometimes get out of hand. He didn't want to risk getting in trouble. It turned out to be a fun time. Upon entering the club, True found a wall, leaned against it, pulled me between his legs, and that is where we remained until we left the club. He kept pulling me in without knowing he was pulling me in. My men find out that I get off on a man taking charge. My ideal man always makes me feel safe, never a question of my well-being, because I am his. That is who I am. True was pushing the right buttons, which made me reconsider placing him in the cutty section and elevating his status. It didn't hurt that he was fine, dark skin, and a pretty smile. I was not fighting the attraction very well at all. My next step proved that. The night was over. We rode in Bishop's truck back to my truck. It was late. I was getting tired and ready to go to the hotel. I was also ready to be alone with True. Once in the room, I went to a shower. When I came out, he was still fully dressed. By this time, I had spent almost a day with True, and there was one thing that stood out and screamed loudly, was his appearance of innocence. He was nervous, rightfully so. He had spent the last half of his life without much interaction with women intimately since he was a teen. I mean, according to him, he received some oral action while locked up a couple of times, but nothing else since that age. I shared a small portion of his nervousness as well, but I knew the reason behind my feelings. My woman will only allow a man to penetrate if the relationship is leading to someplace serious or it's already there. My sex is not for the community, so my pending actions were a surprise to me. I was moving way out of character, just living in the moment when I have always planned my steps my entire adulthood. I never stop with plan A. There's always a B, C, and D. This weekend, I didn't care. That night, there was penetration without the promise. I messed up. I slept with him. Again, eyes wide open. But damn, did I just commit adultery? Guilt, guilt, and guilt. But it didn't stop me. I may have felt it, but it was momentary, and that was a problem, which would be indicative of how the next 14 years would go. Me allowing things I would never have allowed before. The next morning, we were all smiles. Our plans were just to enjoy the day when I received the call. It was Sean. True didn't look so happy about that call. But again, I must stress, I had not committed myself to True. Us sleeping together did not solidify anything. Were my feelings somewhat involved? Most definitely. But I also wanted to talk to my friend Sean. Nothing was wrong with that. While talking to Sean, True got dressed. I made plans to meet Sean at his residence. True decided he wanted to join me. No biggie. I told Sean we'd be heading out shortly, headed his way. I was excited to see him. He sounded excited to see me. Once True and I were ready, it was time to head to Sean. Pulling up to the spot, I noticed the normal crowd outside Sean's hood. It always had a party-type atmosphere. Amongst the crowd, I noticed Sean. And as I pulled up, I got right out of the car, walked fast towards him as he walked even faster towards me. We hugged for a long time. True walked right behind me, something Sean did not miss at the time because he whispered in my ear, "Is that you?" I looked at him and said, "He thinks so." Just as I said that, True walked closer to me, placed his arm around me and stared at Sean. Sean's eyebrow lifted and all I could do was shake my head. Overstepping number two. I don't have that many regrets regarding those moments, but that the one that stands out the most is why I left and why I let myself be led when I'd never been anything but leader material. I was being mind-fucked, and the smart girl that I am, I let it happen. Thank you for joining me tonight, Potties, for episode 4 of Appearance of Paradise, Loving an Institutionalized Mind. Stay tuned next week for episode 5. Thank you for continuing this journey. Night, Potties.